You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Patty Alper, an entrepreneur, mentor, consultant, and author of Teach to Work, a book that explores the potential for building projects-based mentoring partnerships between businesses and schools. Patty, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
So nice to be here, Eric. A pleasure.
It's certainly our pleasure. Great to have you out, Patty. So tell us and talk to us about the skills gap in America right now.
So rather than rattle off a bunch of statistics, I will tell you from doing this book, I've had countless numbers of interviews with Fortune 500 companies, and repeatedly what I hear from these direct person-to-person, face-to-face interviews is they cannot find the kind of skills they're looking for in graduates. Gallup, who actually wrote my foreword, did a huge study called Great Jobs, Great Lives. And interestingly, they found that top chief academic officers, 98% believe they are preparing youth for the workforce. Yet, only 11% of corporations agreed. So repeatedly, from interviews, from research, I hear that students are not being prepared to enter the workforce with the adequate skills. And I would ask you, Eric, and your audience, what is their experience in hiring youth today? And what are the skills that they would like to see?
Sounds like you found a lot of interesting information through your research there. Now, your book, Teach to Work, has a specific prescription to help close this gap. Can you tell us a little bit further on that?
Yes, I like that prescription. So here's, in essence, what I'm talking about. Today, schools teach to a test. When you graduate, you have learned to study, you've learned to memorize, and you've learned to sort of spew back what you have learned from a book. And what I am suggesting is that you bring in real practitioners with real knowledge, and you assign students, it doesn't matter the course or the field. What I'm talking about can hold true for science, engineering, chemistry, marketing, writing, business. And here's the simple formula and what a student gets. Would you rather hire somebody who I just described or somebody who comes up with their own innovation for a project, who develops a hypothesis, who writes out a plan, who has a market strategy, who defines an audience, with guidance and support from a mentor, helps to iterate change, and has to stand up and defend an idea before a group of professionals? There you have a youth who's taken some ownership, taken some risk, and is trying. And ultimately, what I hear from employers is that's what they're looking for, is somebody who can innovate, who can work through change, who can collaborate, who can communicate. But rather than have them be theories, let's do it. That's as short as I can say it, Eric.
And well done, by the way. How does one go about developing and implementing programs like this?
You know, if you were a company, in the back of the book, is 40 pages dedicated to helping individuals or companies find their mentorship partner, either in a nonprofit or a school. I also have on my website, which we can talk about in a minute, something I've just written. It's a free 22-page implementation guide for mentor coordinators. So if you wanted to begin to sort of mentor within your community to help close the skills gap by sharing some of your knowledge, there is a path to do it. So I've tried to provide the skills to not let people sit on their laurels, but to get up and go participate. And actually, Eric, the other thing I would share with you, I've done, as I've mentioned, countless interviews. Companies walk away with a huge number of benefits by having this mentorship model going on. And I can give you a few. And I will tell you, I've interviewed EY and Pfizer and 3M, Comcast, MasterCard, Accenture, General Motors, SAP. That's just a few. The first thing that they seem to find when they set up a mentorship program, either through a nonprofit or through a school directly, is that millennials prefer to work for a company that has this do-good quotient, that they're building a pipeline of interest in their particular field by sending mentors to schools. HR finds it easier to recruit and to hire because they're starting to develop relationships with actual potential applicants. Somebody from Pfizer actually said that their culture changed. And this was his quote: employees want to be part of something bigger than a company. Where a business culture is internally based, the philanthropy is external. This volunteer ethos provides something more than a quarterly return on earnings. It stretches employees beyond their day-to-day jobs. So the culture begins to change. And then some companies find that it is a management training tool, that actually when you send a sort of up-and-comer that's growing through the management pipeline, that they learn to develop confidence, they learn to speak in front of people, they realize how far they've come since they were in school. So it begins to develop a confidence management skills that then apply. The gentleman I interviewed from General Motors actually was he was mentored by the same organization that he now heads up for General Motors. He's become the mentor like the person that he had who mentored him. So it continues a cycle.
And certainly most helpful information today. We're joined by Patty Alper, the author of Teach to Work, a book that explores the potential for building projects-based mentoring partnerships between businesses and schools here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, Patty, are there any examples of companies successfully working with mentees within their communities you could share?
Absolutely. One story I love to share is with Accenture. They have married with, they have 16 nonprofits that they work with. They do mentoring all over the United States, but one of them is with the KIPP School. And one of the kinds of projects that they work with their mentees on is they actually bring their youth to come with their consultants to a consulting assignment. So here's an example. One of their clients was the District of Columbia Public School System. And so with maybe three consultants and two youth, they come in and they have to assess a need. This is just what any consultant would do, right? And the need was, how do we better forecast how many students will be attending school in the following year? So they had to gather data from all kinds of sources and information that wasn't being gathered. So together, side by side, as a collaborative team, these youth see the need that's being defined, how to gather information to respond to the need, and as an equal partner, came up with innovative ways to solve and resource the kind of answers that the school was looking for. So they came back and they developed an entire presentation. And together, the team went back to the district public schools and presented these ideas and how to implement them. So these youth were part of an entire project development. I can share with you another example. SAP has dedicated 750 hours and some dollars. They worked with a nonprofit around entrepreneurship. That's your area, right? And each student was assigned to develop their own app. So the student had to, just as I said before, they had to innovate. They had to have a hypothesis, a plan, who was going to use the app, and how would they develop this idea and a master plan around it. But the SAP sort of developers would come in and actually help them launch. This is real. So the kids actually really launch an app that is functional. And at the end of the day, on their resume or on their college application, they've done something. It's real. And they've had the failures and they've had the successes and they've seen how they have to continue to change as they grow it and build it. So you're developing innovators who can think and learn and kind of, I love this term, apply their curiosity, you know, to something real that's used in the real world. So I happen to believe this is an example, I have many examples, that will help begin to close the skills gap if we can marry the business community to come in and participate with educators. I've written a series of three articles. They're from a publication called Education Reimagined. And it actually also speaks to the educators. And quite a few deans of education have said to me, you know, technology is growing so fast, and we know that we are behind the eight ball, and this might be the wave of the future, that we need to have many more real-life experiential programs with other kinds of educators besides one person standing up in front of one room. Let's bring learning to life. So between people aging, between people retiring, and between trying to fill a kind of employee pipeline, there's many benefits to the company. There's many benefits to a society or to a township. It's kind of, it takes a village, you know, to develop these youth the way we want them. And I don't think educators can do it by themselves. So that's kind of my vision. And it comes, Eric, from, I have been a mentor now. I just left class this morning. I was there. This is my 19th year working with students who are learning entrepreneurship, because that is my background. And I help them write business plans and launch companies. And it's incredible. It's incredibly rewarding. And I brought many, many companies, CEOs, managers, teams to come in and do this with me. So I believe it's an answer, and I am witness to it from thousands of letters from kids that I have received on their takeaways from hearing somebody who's really done it. You know, it's very different learning from somebody who talks about it and reads about it, and learning from somebody, quite honestly, I built a construction company from the ground up, and I beat the street, and I was one of the first women in the field, and it wasn't easy. And they get motivated by hearing that story. They, especially the women, can relate. So we all have these experiences we can share, and I say, let's do it. So that's why I wrote the book. We can all share some of our knowledge and pass it on.
As you mentioned, certainly rewarding, no doubt about that. And not only rewarding, but quite impressive, motivating and inspirational, not only for our listeners, but for myself as well. And we really appreciate that information there. On the flip side, if you're an educator, how do you get involved or approach a company about programs like these?
It is funny you ask that. That's my second article of the trilogy for Education Reimagined. And I've been talking to a couple of education associations about exactly that. Believe it or not, that the schools don't know how to approach the business. They asked me, especially in STEM education, I don't understand how we approach a business. So I believe that you start with having a cup of coffee. I've even talked to Starbucks about this. Creating a dialogue between these two sectors and begin with a list of questions such as, what can we do to better prepare students for tomorrow's jobs? How can we work together to bridge this skills gap? Maybe an educator might ask, what is the new culture of innovation within your company? And what are your technological needs? Because they cannot produce the kind of youth companies want unless they listen, can they? It's like marketing 101. So how can corporations align with educators for better job preparation? And what would that partnership look like? Like, begin a dialogue with some of these questions. These articles are on my website. They're under press and under bylines. But it's a really good question. And the other problem for educators sometimes is, what is the role? Will people disrupt my class? So that's why I've written the book. I've outlined a specific role for a mentor, particularly a professional. They want a job. Like, I don't want to waste my time and I don't want to deal with ambiguity. What is it you want me to do and how do you want me to do it? What's my timeline and what's the goal? So I've tried to outline that so it's succinct and clear and it has a scope. So I'm trying to marry these two sectors to make it possible. And lastly, my role that I define in the book is, we are not there to teach the class and we are not there to take over. We are there to work on an assigned project. And we meet youth outside of the classroom, like in an office or in a library. So, and you come back. The project may be 3 months, 6 months, 8 months. My kids work an entire year on developing a business plan and a business model. So, you know, those parameters are variable and can be defined, but the role is outlined in the book. What is the role of the mentor? And it is not to be the teacher. It is to help the student with a like-kind project to the industry of the mentor. It could be a chemistry experiment, right? It could be creating a new blogosphere around a subject that a kid from a communications department. I have another great example. A government class assigned students to come up with new ideas for new laws. New laws. What's wrong with the laws in our land? So each student had to come up, and they have legal mentors. And the ideas were so good, the teacher sent them to a state senator. And three laws were changed as a result of that project assignment in the government class. So, I mean, there's no limit to ideas of projects. And there's also no limit to how creative kids can be and the confidence they gain by having, you know, we're not a parent. We're not telling them what to do. We're not a teacher. We're not grading them. We're like their own private consultant. And I find, I'm sorry, I'm just going on and I'm very passionate about it. But I find that at the end of the year, kids relate to you as equal, as a peer. I mean, they look up to you, but they haven't talked to adults or had adults treat them about their ideas like that in the past. They step up and they are equal because it's theirs. It's not yours, it's theirs. So I try to map out that kind of relational arc. And what I see is that you have creative, confident kids who are innovators and doers. And I think that's what we're looking for.
Well, Patty, great to have you with us. Certainly appreciate the time spent with us here today. I'm sure our listeners want to know where they can get further information and pick up your book, Teach to Work. Where can they do that?
Definitely come to the website and check it out, www.teach2work.com. You can certainly email me at info@teachtowork.com. And if you're interested in that implementation guide, that's on the website. There's a free chapter on the website. And actually, I have a new product that I'm excited about. This. It's called Mentoring for Maximum Results. It's a video training guide that if you wanted to have your employees begin to think about mentoring or even mentoring one another, it's a very simple, it's 8 chapters and they're like 2-minute segments under each chapter. So it's pretty fast. The whole thing is an hour and a half. And it gives guidance on how to be a mentor in a intergenerational relationship around what I'm coining, this is my trademark term, project-based mentoring. How to put a project in the middle of that mentorship relationship. So I would love to hear from your listeners, and my main goal is really to get people to consider mentoring and that every one of us has a lot to offer. And I don't care what field you're in, you're valuable.
That is so true, and what a great way to end today's session of Enterprise Radio. Patty, thanks again for joining us here on the program. All the best, and again, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Patty Alper, the author of Teach to Work, a book that explores the potential for building projects-based mentoring partnerships between businesses and schools. And to pick up the book and for further details, visit teachtowork.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7. Around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.